Today I'm joined with a state representative, Sue Cahill, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of these bills that are coming to the floor, potentially. So, Sue, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I've done a lot of calls, received and answered a lot of emails, especially in relation to the House File 68, which is the Student First Act that the governor has stated is one of her priorities. I'm hearing from a lot of people in central Iowa who are not for the bill.
So one thing, Sue, that I saw recently, there was a discussion about it, kind of an open forum, and letters that were written in were overwhelmingly, the numbers that were written in were against it. Why would the representatives that we vote for, how can you see that and then go, you know, continue down this path?
Very interesting. We had a public hearing last week that did allow people to sign up to be a speaker. But the key was, the way it was held, is that we alternated speakers between being for the bill and against the bill. So it makes you look like there's a pretty equal representation. In my own emails, in my own phone calls, I have had overwhelming support against this bill. The message I am receiving is vote no on this voucher or student savings account, or it has many names over the years, because we have been talking about this for 4 or 5 years. And every year we get a different name. This year, I believe it's the Student First Act, which is House File 68, put forth as a priority of the governor, that she feels we should offer choice to all families for the best situation for their children.
So, Sue, can you just kind of break this down? You know, explain like I'm five is a very common phrase on the internet. Can you explain this to me as if I've never read this before?
Sure. The bill allows for students who, it's implemented over 3 years. The first year, students who have a certain, their families have a certain income level, can apply for a voucher, which equals almost $7,600, that they can then apply to the school of their choice, should they want to leave their neighborhood public school. Or if they haven't attended their neighborhood public school, they could enter into a private school, and they have this voucher of $7,600, which should pay tuition. It should help them pay for tutoring costs if they need it. It might help pay for a laptop if they need it, or other educational necessities, except for food and transportation and clothing. So they can't buy their uniforms with this money, should they choose to go that act. The second year, it goes to another level of income. But by the third year, it is open to anyone in Iowa who wants to send their child to a private school, whether they are the wealthiest person in Iowa or way above the median income of Iowa. They would get this $7,600 voucher to send their children to the private school of their choice.
So, Sue, property tax is what funds schools. So is this money coming from the property tax, or where is this money coming from?
I have been told this has been an issue that our caucus has tried to put forth to the majority party, because we have not seen, as of today, we have not seen a legislative service, the nonpartisan group that puts together financial information on bills. We have not seen a fiscal note from them. And again, they are a nonpartisan group, and they just try and look at what you've asked for in a bill, and they try and say, okay, well, this is what it's going to cost. We haven't had that. The majority party has put forth that in our rules and administrations, they want anything coming from the educational reform bill in the House would bypass the Ways and Means Committee or the House Appropriations Committee, which deal with taxes and monies, because they, I have been told, and I was told this by the Speaker of the House, that they want to be very transparent and get this bill before the entire House so that the entire House can vote on it, because in previous years it has gotten held up either in a financial committee or in the education committee. But my response back was, maybe there's a good reason it's being held up in those committees, because it's not a viable, it's really not a viable option. But so, yes, your property taxes would go towards supporting these vouchers for students and families who want to attend non-public schools.
So, and I've seen a couple numbers thrown out there, $900 million in 3 years is an estimate of what it would cost. You know, I've also done a little research myself. So the average price of a home that was bought in Marshalltown last year was $121,000. So if you do property tax on that here in Marshalltown, it's just under $2,000.
Yep.
Of what the calculation is. So that's what that family would be putting towards into the schools. But you're telling me that they're going to get $7,600 potentially through this program.
If they choose to remove their student from a public school and place them in one of our, and I have to say our private schools in Marshalltown are excellent. We don't want to make this a fight against private and public. There are some very distinct differences, though. Public schools are governed by elected school boards that can be held accountable for any actions they take. Most private schools either have a church-elected school board, because our two in Marshalltown are both religious schools, so they have a different kind of governing system. We also look at the public schools have to accept every student, whether they have a disability, whether they are brilliant, whether they have, are middle of the road. We accept every student as they are, as they walk in the door. Private schools, and I've had some emails from folks here in Marshalltown who said the private school would not accept my child because he needed more services because he has special needs than that school could provide. And so she felt her option, her only option, was to go to the public school where we have the special education, the AEA working hand in hand with them. We have occupational therapists, speech therapists, hearing and audiology folks who come in and help our students at all levels. So that's another big factor. Private schools they are able to vet their students that come in. Maybe they have a student coming in who isn't a Christian, but yet they're called a Christian school. Will they accept that student? It's totally up to that private school.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess when I'm just thinking about this, again, as a single person without kids, it's not something that I have to think about. You know, where am I going to send my kids to school? It's just not an issue that I think about. But again, looking at the numbers, it just doesn't add up in my head of where it's all coming from. So as an Iowan, that would be my concern coming forward. Totally understand that there's different opportunities everywhere you go. The one good thing about the public schools is they accept everybody and there's no limitations. So would there be any talk then if this were to go through about adding some more, you know, qualifications, or you have to accept more kids at private schools, or is there, like, how would that work then?
There is actually a part of the bill that says no, the private schools would not have to conform to what the public schools do. They would have to do the Iowa assessment every year and post that with their demographic information, but most of the private schools already do that. So they are operating under a different playing field than the public schools are.
So I think you're a really interesting person to kind of talk about this. One, you can dive in and actually explain this to myself, but two, you were a teacher as well in your first career here. So
exactly. And I probably have another piece that you don't know about.
Okay.
Is that I have six boys. My husband and I, we sent our six kids to Marshalltown Area Catholic School, which is now called St. Francis, because it was vitally important to us that they receive that faith, Christ-centered education. And they got a great education there. It only went through sixth grade. So going on to seventh grade, my kids went to Miller and moved on through the high school. They're all successful. As any mother says, I'm happy they all have insurance. That's my measure of success. They all have health insurance, so I'm thrilled with that. But I also served on the MACS, Marshalltown Area Catholic School Board of Directors, which was selected and voted on by people of the parishes, which at that time was St. Mary's, St. Henry's, and Immaculate Conception. Though we all had a certain number of representatives on the board, and I served as president of that board. During that time, we did establish a program in which parishioners, maybe that didn't have kids anymore or who had income that they wanted to share with others, were able to contribute to a tuition assistance program. So just about any family that came to the Marshalltown Area Catholic School could be considered for tuition assistance, financial assistance to be a part of that school. So I have always felt the strength of Max or St. Francis. And I have to add, as a public school teacher, I worked at St. Francis a quarter, 25% of my time 2 years ago as their Title I teacher, providing those services that kids are entitled to help them increase their reading abilities. So I worked there, great programs, good people, I know that. But the thing is, I think their biggest strength is that they are a faith-based, Christ-centered curriculum. And that came through whether the kids were going to weekly mass or whether they were saying prayers over the intercom in the morning or at the end of the day they celebrated through devotions and through prayers that helped them move forward. And that is a piece that, again, was very important for my husband and I. But I still feel that is a church community, a faith community's obligation if they want to support that faith-centered, Christ-centered education that should come from that faith community. The public dollars should be available to anyone, no matter what their belief system, no matter what their moral system, no matter what their faith. Because, and at the public school, it's not like we don't teach those things. We teach a lot of the similar morals and values, but we just don't call them Christ-centered or faith-based. We call them our social and emotional learning, which helps kids to respect others and helps kids to be a part of a group and helps them to understand how other people feel, respect them for who they are, and accept them in their world.
Yes, that was very, very well said. One thing I do want to ask, because you do have this perspective, as a teacher, if we were to cut funds at the public school, you're already shortchanged a little bit. How would that affect you in the classroom?
I think of, and I've always taught in an elementary school, except I did spend 3 years at the district level. So I have the big picture of what happens in Marshalltown district-wide, but most of my experience is in the elementary schools. Representative Grassley has said that, yes, because of astute budgeting over the last few years, the money should be there. But I worry that if monies get tight and our own systems, every quarter there is a group that evaluates what they think income will be for the state so that we can look at what the state tax, the sales tax will be, and what the state taxes into the coffers will be. He said that he felt that was going to be sufficient to cover the programs. Yet the state governing agent that presents those figures has said those numbers look like they're going to be lower in the next few years, partially because of our enacted state flat state income tax that was voted on last year, and partially just as people are we're in an inflationary period and people maybe aren't spending as much. So some of those pieces really have me concerned that in maybe 4 years, we're looking at this program and they're like, well, by golly, we have to fund these private school vouchers, and then what's left over will go to the public schools. I heard from the superintendents in my area, and I made a point to talk with them and say, how will this affect you? And one of them said, if we have 10 students leave our mostly rural district, that would be a half of a teacher. Now, with the program on the Students First Act, people do not have to apply for it until up to June 30th of a year for school starting in October. But school districts have put their budgeting through in March. They've distributed their contracts to teachers sometime between April, May, whatever it may be. It varies each year. But they have looked at what is it going to take for us to serve our students in the classrooms the next year. So suddenly if 10 kids decide they are going to move into Marshalltown to one of the private schools, where does that leave that district? I mean, they have an employee that they necessarily are not getting funding for from the state coffers. So I do worry that our state dollars will decrease because this system is in place. And the number of students attending public schools is about more or less 500,000. They anticipate after the 3 years, the number attending public school will be 42,000. So is that the same ratio that we are dividing out our monies for in the amount we're spending for each group?
Okay, so we're joined today with Sue Cahill, one of our state representatives. So Sue, one phrase that I've heard kind of that goes around this bill, and I don't quite understand it, is we're not necessarily in the business of public education, but we're in the business of educating the public. So my question to you would be, how do you educate the public without a system put in place?
The pieces that brings up to me, or the thoughts that I have on that, are that the public has enjoyed great public schools in Iowa since back, I don't even know how far back, but I have to admit, my husband and I, we were in Kansas City when our first child was born. My husband, John, was a native of Fort Dodge, but he said at that point, as we looked at our career paths, he said, I'd really like to move back to Iowa because their education is number one in the nation. And at that point, and this was 1990, we were consistently in the top five education programs in the nation, if not number one or two. And so my family made that choice to move to Iowa from Missouri because we knew the education programs were excellent and we would receive the best whether our students were in or whether our children were in public or private school. We just knew that center of excellence was here and everyone was raised up by that. Since that time, we have had some underfunding of our schools through our legislation. In these years of the inflation that we've had, you know, even so, the governor and the legislature is saying, let's put forth 2.5% of growth money, of new monies, toward the school system. And, you know, that because the state spends a whole lot on education and it is a priority, we think, well, that's a pretty good sum of money. But part of that money goes back to property owners and property tax relief. Like you said, you don't know a lot. I mean, you're thinking, where are my property taxes going? There are systems in place that try to relieve some of those property tax burdens that you get. So even in these inflationary times of 8 and 9%, we're only looking at 2.5% of new growth, of which all of it never reaches the classroom. That's a real concern for me, that we then are taking a pie, and even before the public schools get their chunk of the pie, we're taking out a piece for private school vouchers that only will serve about 42,000 students, leaving our other 475,000 to take the rest of the pie that already has a big bite out of it. So that is a difficult thing to manage, and it is it worries me that this we'll be able to continue this funding down the road.
So I appreciate your time coming in today, explaining this to a radio guy, you know, a radio head, I should say, a little bit, and kind of breaking it down for us. I know that this will be brought forth and be voted on here very shortly. So I appreciate all you do and the time to listen to us and explain everything.
Very good. Thank you.